thought, well, that's not how I was mentored, and I've read my Bible, and I know that I've been here. I've unclogged the toilet. I'm not going to toot my horn and go on and on about it, but I'm telling you that I have the understanding of what it means to be a minister, and I know this is the final place. The first steps in ministry are possibly on your knees scrubbing something. And how would it change Christianity if pastors in this country had that servant heart and attitude of humility? Amen. Instead of walking around all cocky in suits that are more expensive than the car I drive and want everybody to bow to them. I ask people, I'll put it this way. I don't ask anybody to call me pastor. But I received that title because it is a matter of communication. People need to know who the pastor is. But it's not a title of hierarchy that I'm over you. I am not over you.
Amen.
We are equals.
Amen.
And hopefully it means we both are sinners saved by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we both love the Lord Jesus Christ. We both love this book.
Amen.
And if you love God, then you love the brethren.
Amen.
And so we love one another. We pray for one another, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that sets me apart doesn't put me up. It sets apart, not up. And that is, there are certain people set apart to teach. There are other people who are set apart to be the elders and leaders of the church, but they are not above. Set apart is different than sitting over top of you. Paul, over and over, said, you know, as apostles, we could have pulled rank. But we didn't. What did he do? He made tents so that he wouldn't be a burden.
Amen.
And that's the attitude that Jesus is talking about. You note another thing here. Servant is not slave.
Amen.
Jesus has come to set you free.
Amen.
Now, you'll notice they are spelled differently.
Amen.
So that should be your first hint that a servant is not a slave. Amen?
Amen?
Now, there are synonyms and things like that, but if you look up a definition, good old Noah Webster gives us a good one. Servant, if you look there, differs from slave. As the servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. I am a servant of Jesus Christ by my will.
Amen.
And my will is to submit myself to Jesus to be his servant. Now, some of you may not be aware of this, but there's whole segments of the Christian church that will call themselves slaves.
Yep.
They actually are well-meaning, a lot of them. I've talked to them, and I've tried to find out why they believe that. They're convinced by corrupt Bibles and preachers who misquote and misapply and misuse the Greek language and text. But a lot of the people I talk to today say, well, I want to be his slave. I said, no, the Bible, you don't want to be what God doesn't want you to be. God doesn't want you to be a slave. He wants you to be his servant. He wants you to submit to him by your will, saying, use me, Lord.
Amen.
That's what he wants. A slave means you get up and go, oh, I guess I got to do this. Give me a hymn book. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Is it over yet? I don't see that here very often. But I've seen that a lot over the years. Yeah, Sean?
Jesus gave us a perfect example of it. He humbled himself and he washed
the... We're going to come to that. Yeah, sometimes he reads my notes. So. Johnny?
Well, maybe I'm oversimplifying it here, but isn't if you want to be a slave, doesn't that technically mean you're a servant by definition?
That's what I explained. Actually, that's what I tell him. I say, well, that means you're not a slave. You're doing it of your will.
Yep.
Huh? Yeah. Read it again. Servants differ from slave as the servant's subjection to a master is voluntary. The slave's is not. Every slave is a servant, but every servant is not a slave.
Yeah.
So, John?
So, does that mean we don't get reparations?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get reparations. What you get is reward.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
The punishment
that happens comes from being a child, not a slave.
And the suffering was accomplished on the cross.
Yes.
Amen. So that moves us to verse 27, where Jesus says, "For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth?" I love that. "But I am among you as he that serveth." Jesus himself, you just don't find him walking around wanting everybody to make him more than his Father. He's always saying, "I am here to glorify my Father. When you glorify me, you're glorifying your Father." But the Father's glorification was his point. And so many times, Jesus would bow and serve, humble himself and serve. And then the question is, are you above your master? That's a question a lot of Christians need to really ponder and consider. Not willing to suffer. Everything's got to be the best life now. Everybody's got to be walking on, you know, cloud nine. Everything's always, you always have to be on the mountain, and as soon as things get bad, they tank. That's going to happen if you have this attitude that God owes you something. And that I'm a Christian, so now my life is supposed to be wonderful, and there's supposed to be nothing but good, and everything's supposed to be happy all the time. Happy clappy, happy clappy. You got that false idea about Christianity, you're not going to be able to maintain your walk. Because you have it. Well, anytime error begets error. We say it over and over. The heart of Christ is the heart of a what?
Servant.
Servant.
Amen.
Scripture with Scripture. In John's Gospel, I believe this is what Sean was referring to a moment ago, he adds this important account of Jesus serving his apostles. Go over to John 13. Just a few pages from where you're at. The Gospel of John. Chapter 13, beginning of verse 1, says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Beautiful. Verse 2 says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God." Now look at this. Verse 4. "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And he did not say, 'Now, wash my feet.'" Did he? It's the opposite. Verse 5. Read that. "After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And then he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, 'Lord, dost thou wash my feet?'" They were shocked because they've got that world mentality of, "Wait a minute, you're the Messiah. We're looking, bring the throne." Jesus answered, verse 7, "and said unto him, 'What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter.'" In other words, he understood that they were just mind-boggled, but after the crucifixion and his resurrection, these things were going to make sense to them. If you're unsaved today, you may not understand a lot of things that you hear from Christians. You may not understand a lot of things you see from the good, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians. But if you'd get saved, you'd start to understand them. Amen? And so verse 8, "Peter saith unto him, 'Thou shalt never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me.'" Peter's going to turn on a dime. Verse 9, "Simon Peter saith unto him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.'" Jesus saith unto him, verse 10, "He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." Why did he say that? Judas. You know, that is something I'm not gifted with. I'm not a heart reader. I teach. I take your profession as at face value. I believe you when you say you're a believer. I fellowship with you. And only rarely do I get the discernment when I'm dealing with somebody who's professing, but yet I can tell are not possessing. But most of the time, I'm taking you at your word. If you say you're a believer, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt unless or until you prove otherwise. In this case, though, Jesus knows who he's dealing with. So he says, but not all. Verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Now, read verses 12 through 15 with me. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. This, you want to have the spirit of a servant. Then you're going to follow your Lord and Master. It doesn't say to bring him down from being Lord and Master. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. One day we're going to see him glorified above all. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. And yet he is on his knees washing feet and says to you and I that we should be doing the same. Not just the literal washing of feet, but serving.
Amen.
That's what the word minister means. Serving.
Amen.
If you don't have that heart today, I love you enough to tell you you're backslidden. I tell you right now that you need to get along with God and ask for forgiveness for your lack of humility and service. And ask him to give you a heart to serve. Listen, folks, you know the most miserable people I ever deal with? You know the people that aren't sitting in the pews today that should be here today? Almost all, of course, some have moved away and some have died. But as those who are still alive and remain within driving distance and they're not here and they're not working, they're not sick. I have to put all the disclaimers in there. You know, though, there are some who should be here and they're not here week after week. What? They don't live too far away. No excuse. Why aren't they here? I'll tell you, every time it's when you become to this. It's all about you. It's all looking inward.
Yep.
That's when the Bible goes on the shelf. That's when you're not praying the way you ought to. It's all about me. You ever notice that's not in the hymn book? Me, 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 me. Not a hymn, not a praise chorus. That's why I try not to be too critical, but modern Christianity, it just makes me want to, you know, yeah, that's the sound effect. You turn on Christian radio and they're all about you, telling you to be all about you. And it's all about you. And that's the opposite of biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is die to self. It's all about him. And it's just sad so many of our loved ones are getting caught up in that Laodicean spirit of all about me, all about me. This is the life and message of Christ for his followers. Matthew 10:24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. You see all that Jesus did ministering to others, not to mention willingly dying to save your soul. This is a poster, actually, a banner that we put out next to the Nativity at Christmas time in front of our house. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. That's the real Jesus. That's the biblical Jesus. And the reward comes in the next life, although We get plenty here.
Amen.
But what if we didn't get plenty here? You better be storing your treasures in heaven. Buy stock where it won't crash. Amen? And then when you get blessings like I've had in my life, I feel so guilty when I read the stories of what other Christians have gone through. But the Bible doesn't tell us to go running out trying to get killed. It tells us to be faithful. And then if you get killed, you get killed. Amen? That's supposed to be our attitude. If I'm serving the Lord, and then I've had a couple close calls. And Jenny was with me when they tried to run us over out here on High Street. Now, one day I was out, and I'm telling you, a full beer bottle just whizzed past my ear. I heard it whiz past my ear and smack the stop sign behind my head. If that had hit me, I don't know why would it have. It could have been brain damage, which some of you think I've already suffered. But could have killed me. You know, it kills a lot of people every year. It blows to the head. We're watching Barnaby Jones. About every other episode, he's getting whacked in the head. And I'm like, man, there ain't no way. He'd be dead by now. You ever had a good thump on the head? You know what I'm talking about. And of course, you know I've taken a few. It's obvious. Yes, Jenny?
Just your thought on, if I die, I die. Reminds me of Esther. And that was her thought. If I perish,
yeah.
I perish. She was going in front of the king, and the lives of her people were worth it to her.
Amen. Over and over in the Scripture, you should see that. And then verses 28 through 30, back in our text, 28 through 30, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. So Jesus has given them credit for having a sacrificial attitude up to this point. 29, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. So he's not leaving them saying, you're not going to get anything out of this. What he's telling them is they better understand that in this life, God has a wonderful plan for your life. It might be being stoned to death. It might be being beheaded.
Yeah.
Christians every day are being imprisoned, tortured, and killed, even today.
Yep.
You won't hear it on the news media because they're Antichrist.
Yep.
But if you will do research, you'll find that all over the world, Christians are being imprisoned. There's a lady in England who was thrown in prison because she's standing silently across from an abortion clinic, and they put her in jail because they thought she was praying. I was telling, we were over at Matt's house for a family thing, and he had a T-shirt on. It said, Jesus Saves. I mean, you saw the guy where they ran him out of the Mall of America for having a T-shirt on that says, Jesus Saves. That was in America. It's coming. It's getting worse and worse and worse. What if it does? You're gonna turn your back on the Lord? Are you prepared now and saying, Lord, I know it's going to get worse. It's coming, but I want to be willing to suffer for your cause. And that's what he's telling them here. And he's saying that because you've continued with me in my temptations. Salvation is free, but reward is conditioned. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, verse 29, as my Father hath appointed unto me, verse 30, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 apostles are going to, minus Judas, and I believe Paul was sitting in his chair. They're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. It's real, folks. Specifically, this is for the apostles. But our future reward is similar.
Amen.
How many of you here? Judge not!
Oh, yeah.
No, you're supposed to be practicing judging right now. Matthew 7, read the whole thing. He wants you to judge and not as a hypocrite. He wants you to judge righteous judgment. Is that John 7:24, I believe. So the difference is we're not going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. We will judge the world. And angels.
Amen.
Go over to 1 Corinthians 6.
Amen.
We're going to wrap it up here, but we want to look at this is your future if you're a believer. 1 Corinthians 6. Paul is addressing the fact that the Corinthian church has taken their matters in front of judges and secular courts and things. But he's appealing to them to understand that They should be able to judge things in this life because, hey, man, that's your job in the next. Verses 2 and 3, read that with me. Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? You're going, during the millennium, you're going to rule and reign with Him. What's that mean? When you reign, you are the authority and power God will bestow on you and I, according to our life and the way we've lived in this life, we have different positions in that millennial kingdom, and it will include judgment. We will also be at the great white throne and pronounce a big amen to the judgment of God on those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're also going to judge angels, including the fallen cherub named Lucifer. We're going to judge those fallen angels, which we read about in Revelation 12, when his tail draws a third of them to the earth during the tribulation period. We are going to judge them. We are going to sit on thrones. Did you know that? We are going to have crowns. We are going to rule and reign with Him. And you know what you're doing? If you're living for this life and you're all about having everything now, you are telling the world you don't really believe that's coming. You think it's all right. Get it now. Go for the gusto. Get it all right now. I'll never forget the times I've heard these word faith perverts teach that stuff. Benny Hinn was on TBN one day and he says, streets of gold, I don't want the gold then. I want it now. Give me the gold now. He's having it now. God have mercy on him. So in closing, we ought to be willing to serve if we truly believe His promise of future blessing. What you're telling yourself, if you are not living for your reward in heaven and you're all about this flesh and this life, you're telling yourself, let alone the rest of the world and God, you're telling yourself, I don't really believe what this book says is really important. I really don't believe the future glory that's to come. I'm all about the flesh. I'm an Esau spiritually. A man of the flesh, a woman of the flesh would be like a Jezebel. One last reading as we close. Revelation 22. That's the last book. Of course, most of you know that. We've read the back of the book and we know we win. Amen?
Amen.
Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5. Just a short reading as we close. I'll read 1 and 2 while you turn there. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And read 3 through 5 with me. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall
reign forever.
They shall what?
Reign.
We're going to serve in heaven? I thought it was a, 24/7 permanent vacation. Listen, you ever done something and it's work, but you loved it? You may not love your job you have now, but at some time you've done something and it was work, but you loved doing it. We found out Ron, I think, loves his job, but he found out he wasn't made to be a dentist. He didn't love it. He decided, I'm going to go some in another. And we have a guy back here who decided he did want to be a dentist. Then we got fellas here that have chosen other occupations. And I can tell you that in the ministry, I love what I do. I don't love everything I do. I love most of what I do. I love the ministry. There's an old saying, I think it's a Jewish proverb, but blessed is the man whose work is his play. That's what heaven's going to be. You're going to work. You're going to have things to do. That millennial kingdom, we've already been told things we're going to do. We're going to love it. We're going to enjoy it. And it says, His servants shall serve Him. And then that last, and they shall reign forever and ever. So I want to close with this question. Are you willing to let Jesus have His way in this life, knowing what He has in store for us? Your life may really right now be rough. You could be lonely, be in bad health, whatever it is. If you really grasp what we're reading in the book today, really grasp what's to come, you'll endure the hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ in this battle and grasp with both hands His book and say, this is what I'm trusting in. This is what I'm believing in. This is what is going to dictate how I live the rest of my life from this day forward. I will not be a man or woman of the flesh any longer. Jesus said, these words that I speak, they are spirit and life. And that's the key. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time and this book, for Your Holy Spirit who teaches us. We thank You so much for every soul here and every soul watching online and those who watch days, weeks, months, and even years ahead if You tarry. Or there might be somebody watching this during the tribulation period after we've been raptured. We just thank You for everyone who turns to Jesus Christ for salvation. We know You will not turn any away. Before the rapture, we don't have to face the beast and the mark, but we are facing the system that is being set up in preparation for His appearance. Things are getting rough. Sodom is getting more and more aggressive. And the world is just getting darker and more wicked. And we ask, Lord, that everyone, I ask that everyone here, including myself, that we be dead to self, allowing You to control more of us today than You did yesterday. And every day growing closer and allowing You to guide us and lead us all for Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing about that. I want to sing 388. Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Take a moment. Lord is dealing with your heart right now about something, give it to Him. I don't need to hear it. It's between you and God. Just want to give you a moment. You can pray, Lord, I know this is something I need to do. If you have a sin in your life, or just an overall attitude of carnality, fleshliness, your focus is too much on this world, and you really want to be a minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. So many Christians have hearts that are just seem to be frozen. The Bible uses the term stiff-necked. Right now, you can submit to God in prayer and say, Lord, I give myself to You. I want to be used by You. I want to be controlled by You. Some of you need to get some things out of your life. Some even need relationships. Even some family you need to put distance. Jesus said, if you love Me more than you love your family, then you're not worthy of Him. Whatever it is, in a crowd this size, it's just a fact. I know that there's all kinds of different things that each one of you are dealing with. But don't say no to the Holy Spirit. He's dealing with you. Say yes. The more you say no, the colder that heart is going to get. The more stiff your neck's going to get. Sing that fourth verse with us.